Welcome to the LarryNFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannan. The Arts Council in Fishers is embarking on an ambitious goal of raising $500,000 over the next 2 years, with the goal of constructing an arts facility in Fishers. I talked about that and a number of other arts-related issues with the president of the Fishers Arts Council, Sherry Knox. I spoke with Sherry Knox during the afternoon of Tuesday, December 18th. I'm at the Fishers Public Library, the Ignite Space, and the Ignite Space has been open for several months now. If you have not seen it, experienced it, come to the Hamilton East Library at the Fishers Municipal Complex and ask for a tour. Any staff member here will be glad to give you one. There is so much to do, and I'm going to talk about that later because it's tied into the arts, and I'm honored to have Sherry Knox, the president of the Fishers Arts Council, is my guest today. So, Sherry, welcome. It's great to see you again.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you even inviting me.
It's good to have you here because you and I have seen each other at various events all around the city time and time again. I thought, well, it's time to get an update. There's so much going on with the arts and with your organization that I thought it was time to get started here. So talk about, you know, you just personally yourself, your work with the Arts Council over the past few years.
Well, it seems like I remember starting back 3 years ago with the Fishers Arts Council, and I was very excited with being able to be involved with it because, as I tell everyone, my granddaughter actually got me started in that. She was a graduate of Hamilton Southeastern and very, very active in art. So when I joined the Fishers Arts Council, under Jocelyn Varr, she's the one that got me started in it. I said, you know, well, I'll do it, but I don't have a bit of art in my repertoire. So it was very interesting to be able to get involved with it, and I've enjoyed every minute.
I was going to say, I love the arts and some of the arts, but as far as actually drawing or painting, boy, that is not my strength at all.
No, me either. And I'm so grateful to have so many people on our group with the Fishers Arts Council that have a lot of knowledge. We have some artists. We have people that love the arts. And then we have several people that are just wanting to be involved and be volunteering, just mm-hmm. like me.
Well, I want to talk about something right off the bat that has been talk of the town here recently. And it was just about, a month or so ago, maybe a little less. There was a story in the Indianapolis Star all about your goals and fundraising. It was all about the need for an arts facility in Fishers. There's been talk around town about something along those lines for some years. And, you know, I've talked to people around the city, and the city has priorities, but it never really seemed to be a city priority to have an arts facility here. So the Arts Council and other people involved in the arts have taken the bull by the horn, so to speak. And you're trying to raise some money. So tell me about, first of all, the need, in your view, of an arts facility, what you could do with it, and how you're starting off your fundraising activities to get that done.
Well, the interesting thing is, Larry, we've been very excited about being involved in trying to get something like that going. I think that the Mayor Fadness has been very intricate in trying to say that the suicide prevention ties into some of this. And we also believe that the arts have a lot to do with that, helping our young people keep themselves very active. I've always said, you know, as long as you're active, then you don't have the time to think of anything negative like that. So we have been looking for places where the art actually can be expanded, and people that once they graduated from high school, they can continue to have art here in the Fishers area. And that's been very, very important as far as even being well-rounded in the community, volunteering even if they don't have the idea of wanting to be working with some artistic way, they could actually volunteer and bring the arts in. So we have a lot of room for that here in Fishers, I believe. And I think it would be important for us to continue to look for space that would involve a community center or an activity or even a place like Ignite that we have here. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're hoping to do, and hoping that some type of fundraiser we can get going as a volunteer and as volunteers for my whole group. We are all volunteers. It's kind of hard to get a gala or something like that going. So we're looking to try to get that involvement started, some type of fundraiser that brings in a gala. And we have to really have a place to do that. So a lot of the buildings that are being built around, I keep looking at them and saying, that might be a place where we can have some type of gala. And I've been excited about hearing that some of the places will have large rooms. So that might be even the new building, High Frequency, mm-hmm. is going to have an area where we'll be able to possibly utilize using some of that space.
Explain High Frequency for those who don't
know.
Well,
High Frequency is an art gallery that started by Jill Lehman. I believe, I don't know if she's been in to talk to you, but she has been great as far as keeping us involved and knowing what's going on. And so we've been over to look at the facility before it actually even was completed. And so she's going to have a open night for a private opening, and then she's going to have her opening. And so I'm hoping that we get to look at that space and look at possibly having some kind of art exhibit and a fundraiser in her space once her space opens. But I haven't talked to her about that yet.
Okay. So she or somebody else is listening and give her a heads up.
Yes,
on that.
Yes.
Coming. I wanted to say something about what else was in that Star article, because it said you have a goal, the arts community here in Fishers, of raising $500,000 by the year 2020. That is a very ambitious goal, and you were even, I'm looking at the pain on your face when I
and, you know,
that.
we're looking at that, and we think, you know, if we could just get a sponsor, a name sponsor even. I had been thinking of that, even like they do Bankers Life or Lucas Oil. But as long as we have people in the community, and I know we have a lot of people here in the community, we have a lot of people that are connected with even Mace Chemical, and then there's Roche and a number of places, and even Forum. I mean, so if we could get some of those people, and even our mayor, he's very well connected here in the city, and then we have Mr. Wexler, and if we could just bring in some of those people, I think that would make me excited, because I've had some ties with city government. I went to the City Government Academy, and so I learned that a lot of times the people in your neighborhoods are people, their neighbors, but they're also people that are connected with large corporations.
So you're looking for a commercial sponsor to be your name sponsor,
yes,
for this facility.
We'd love to have that. I mean, we've talked to the gentleman that's actually doing the new Spark building, Steve mm-hmm. Harden. Mm-hmm. And then I think he has a partner that works with him. And we've tried to get in touch with them and try to figure out ways to do this. But the money is what we're looking for. And as volunteers, we don't have a lot of money coming in any other way.
So you're looking for various places for these funds. Of course, you'd love to have corporate support.
Yes.
And you're accepting individual donations, of course.
Yes, we
are. But are you looking at foundations and all the other sources at this point?
And we are. We're looking at foundations and grants, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of grants we're hoping to possibly apply for with the Indiana Arts Commission, and luckily we've been tied into that with the new Nickel Plate Arts District that's coming in. So I think that'll be a great way to try to get our foot in the door, possibly. But any type of grants that could be available would be wonderful for us. And if anyone knows of something that we haven't tapped into, we'd love to be, just contact us.
We'll get your contact information later before we go. So
right.
Please hang in there if you want to contact Sherry. Although you have a nice website. I did check that out.
Thank you.
So it looks like that. And there's plenty of contact information there if you want to go there. I do remember, and I had to be out of town. I do some teaching for Indiana University, so it takes me out of town. I think it was last year that there was a display of the various proposals by Ball State architectural students for a possible art center. And I remember the mayor himself commented it was very impressive. He saw a lot of creative ideas as to how an arts facility might look and how it might what facilities it might have. So that did give your idea a boost, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did. It sparked some conversation here in the community. Quite often, that type of thing would probably bring in a lot more information, but it kind of died down after that first part of the year. But we had students from Ball State, I think 6 students that showed different drawings and their renderings of what they thought might be great in an area as small as right over near, you know, Fishers, Fitz, I believe, Fritz, right next to
Fritz and Fisher's,
yeah, right there.
The old car lot,
right.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, if they would donate that space. But it's been interesting to try to actually get something like that as a continual discussion. And so I think, like I said, with the new arts district that's going in and the actual on the other side of our interstate there, having the yard, a lot of the arts that we are looking to do will be involving not only the district, but also possibly over in the art. In the yard. Mm-hmm. So,
That would be nice. Speaking of that, one thing that you, the Arts Council, you've been doing is displaying art at City Hall. Mm-hmm. Is it about once a month that you change it over, or maybe a little, maybe that's not quite right, but every now and then you'll bring in new artists. And anybody who walks around City Hall, just about any time, you will see artwork on the walls, and it's either local or area artists who are putting that art together.
Yes, we've really enjoyed having that phase of the monthly artist, and there's sometimes maybe more than one artist. Sometimes we feature just one artist, but we also have been doing that in locations and buildings. The GAI building over on Cross Point has art, and then we're hoping to expand that with some of the newer places and having art put up. But that also lets the city see art in other places other than just within the Fisher's City Hall building. We call that now the Art Gallery in Fisher City Hall. So that's our new name for that.
Well, that's a great name because that pretty much describes what it's all about. And as someone who visits City Hall on a regular basis, just with my volunteer work, it's always nice to see some different art. Some of it's very creative. Anybody ever sell any art at City Hall?
Or? Yes, we have had a few people sell. Now, we especially had on the Shop Saturday. We had a lot of activity there and a lot of sales. And
that was the Small Business Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Exactly right. Yes, it was. And then, of course, during the Arts Crawl, when we had that in July timeframe, which we may be having some announcements about some of the going on, but
we'll look forward to that.
Yes,
okay.
It'll be some exciting information. But we've sold quite a bit, or the artists have sold quite a bit during those time frames, and they are very excited about being involved in the Arts Crawl. So.
Well, tell me what the Arts Council's been doing to what are the local artists up to other than what we've talked about already? What are they up to? What are they doing? And how's your council trying to support them?
Well, I think one of the bigger things that we're trying to do is make sure that we have art, like I said, every month in the art gallery. So every month we've already set up the whole year as almost all the way through to December of 2019 with various art. And then we always have in the month of April or May timeframe, the high school has all of the seniors that they come to the art gallery and as they show their work. So that's been very helpful to allow people to see that the arts are just not with the artists within the city, but they also are pulled in from the high schools, Fishers and Hamilton Southeastern. So
getting the high schoolers involved, that sets up the future, doesn't it?
It surely does. It surely does. So that really is what's been happening as the people grow and actually graduate, come back. Some of our artists that we have actually in the Fishers Arts Council previously were at some of the high schools. Some were at Fishers High School and some were at Hamilton Southeastern. And now they've come back to volunteer and to put their time into volunteering at Fishers Arts Council. So.
As I mentioned earlier, we're recording this at the Ignite space, and I loved recording in this room. It's called the AV room, and they do a lot of video production here. I do most of the audio productions, although they have equipment. I still don't know how to use it. I have my own equipment. But the acoustics in this room are so good. I love recording here. But when you walk around the Ignite space, this is a place that is just designed for artists, is it not?
Yes, it is. And we've been grateful that it really doesn't just tie into just visual arts, but even performing arts. We're looking to possibly even expand even further into that. And in the month of March, we'll have some exciting things going on for the Black History Month, which is will probably, hopefully, be showing one artist that is he also does filming. And so we want to acknowledge him for the month of February.
So you'll be showing some films in February?
Well, we'll have one film possibly.
One possibly.
Yep,
okay.
And we're not ready to really kind of let all that out,
okay.
But keep your eyes out and eyes and ears open for that, because it's going to be exciting to be able to have him actually show his film.
And the Ignite space will be the center for all that.
Well, I believe he's been here and looked at that, but it will probably be over at the art gallery in the auditorium area.
Oh,
but
very good.
He has been here and he's looked at the Ignite Center and he loved it, and he has really kind of thought he would bring in some of the artists within the high schools, performing arts, that wanted to do filming. Mm-hmm. And so he and Mr. Follis actually have been involved in trying to talk about that.
And let me tell you who Jamie Follis is. Follis set up Oleo Road Productions. They do a student film every year. The one they did last year just blew me away. It was an outstanding. You saw it too?
Yes.
I felt like I was in some European film, the way they put that together. Those kids had tremendous artistic talent.
Yes.
In writing and putting it together. And I spoke to Mr. Jamie Follis about that, but he's also a sculptor.
Yes,
and
he is
known for that.
Yeah.
So he's been an art teacher at Hamilton Southeastern High School for some time.
Yes, he has.
And very much tied in to what's happening arts-wise around here.
And he's been very active in the performing arts from a filming perspective. I think he talked to us years and years ago when I first started with Riverside, is where he actually was over talking to us about the arts and how the religious aspect of the arts came in. So he's been involved in several different arenas of art, and I enjoy listening and talking to him quite often. So
I guess it was over a year and a half, a fellow named Adam Austin in Carmel and myself did a weekly film podcast, and we had to put it on hiatus because he's now become a new father, and he's running for Carmel City Council. So we thought we would kind of lay off for a while. We hope to bring that back again. But he and I have always enjoyed film. Of course, commercial films are great, but I think film as an art form is overlooked by many people.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think Heartland brings in a little bit of that with the Heartland films. I've noticed, too, that Mr. Follis and then the gentleman that I was talking about, his name is Demetrius, and I'll just throw that out there.
Right.
But they've both been actually involved in Heartland films. And so that will bring in some of the film aspect of it, which will also bring that back around to Fisher's Arts Council. So.
I believe we had Demetrius on our film podcast.
Okay,
so
all right.
He's a creative guy.
He's very.
I saw one of his films, and it's amazing what he can do special effects-wise with the limited budget he has. But he loves science fiction. Which I do remember.
Yes.
So we're going to go from the Ignite space to something else that's happening. And it was back in August of this year that the Fisher City Council decided that they wanted to set up an arts district for the downtown area and apply with the state of Indiana to have a cultural arts district. And just a few months later, just recently, the state has come through with that. And now that Nickel Plate District is considered a cultural arts district by the state. And now next month, we're recording this in December of 2018. So in January of 2019, there'll be an arts and culture commission that will begin meeting and planning out the arts future for Fisher. So tell me how you feel that's going to impact all the arts in the Fisher's area.
Well, I think it'll be very exciting. I mean, I just heard a little bit of that today, and I think one of the things that's going to be exciting is the number of people that they have involved in it. Some of the people are here in the Fisher's area. I don't know if everyone is, but we have several people that will be involved in it and live in the Fisher's area. So that'll make that even a much closer aspect of our district, having the people that are actually in the area involved in the district commission.
And I see Jocelyn Vare, who's a former, who had your job a few years ago.
Yes.
She was a former president of the Fisher's Arts Council and is still very active in arts, the arts community in Fishers is a member of that, as is Mr. Foldes, somebody we just talked about.
Yep.
Cecilia Coble, who's on the Fishers City Council, is an at-large member. There are others, but those are three local people that that come to mind that I have certainly dealt with regular basis, and you know them well, too.
Yes.
So, and there are others, but it's a seven-member commission appointed by the mayor.
Yep.
They're there for a two-year term. So I think if nothing else, it's got to make you feel good to know that there's seven people and their only charge is to look at the future of the arts in Fishers.
I agree with that, because one of the best things about it is to look at just Fishers. This is a community that's growing, and the leaping forward with Fishers Arts Council is what I've been saying that we want to do, and with the Nickel Plate District, that just increases the leap.
So. Yeah, you know, I wrote a commentary the other day, and it was like, okay, you know, Fishers Arts Council, if you can actually raise that $500,000, I think the city needs to start backing you a little more, because to me that would show that you have lots of support. And once that becomes obvious, then and I'm not saying the city and this is one thing I hear this all the time, but I want to address it right now. Nobody in Fishers wants to build another Palladium.
No.
And that came out in the Star Story. And, and I tell people, I know people in the arts. They want something on a much smaller scale than that,
exactly.
And really a little bit more functional.
Yes,
for different kinds of activity. Nothing wrong. I've been to the Palladium. It is a gorgeous place.
Yes, it is.
And I love it, and I'm glad we have it in this area.
Yes,
but I think Fishers, we're not Carmel, so we need to do things a different way.
Right, and we have the amphitheater, but we need something that's like year round, and something that is actually a place where you can even have activities, like maybe even have system that of downtown that has a 9/11 spot. I think they call that I've forgotten what they call it, and that's where I'm having difficulty. But I want to make sure that we have something where even adults can attend in the evening time. And that's one of the things that's open year round. That's why we thought about the yard having that. So, it's been an interesting thing to think about how we can make $500,000 come to fruition. But I'm hoping and praying that start somewhere.
Right. And the bigger Fishers gets, it seems like things move. I remember the first time there were Tuesday night concerts.
Yes.
They were done on the front of what was then the town hall.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden the town said, maybe we should build an amphitheater in the back.
Yes.
Built the amphitheater, and all of a sudden the crowd started to grow, and the lines of the restrooms were getting longer. And remember, the mayor said people would send him Facebook pictures of people lined up to get inside the restrooms.
Yes.
So he decided, okay, we're going to have to either just stop doing this, or we're going to have to improve it. And so his decision was to renovate and enhance that, and put a building in between. They call the Cube, which is right there between what is now City Hall and the amphitheater. They expanded the amphitheater, the space, the stage space, and also put that Cube in there for more restroom facilities. And I like the way, the most exciting part of the new amphitheater setup is the way that the grassy area is actually sloped a little bit.
Because
if you were sitting in the back, you know, in the old days, you didn't feel like you were part of the concert. But now, I think even if you're in the back, you're much more attuned to what's happening on stage.
And I think that's one of the great things about it. When we actually start out with something small, it usually blossoms into something even larger. And we want to do something like that with the Fishers Arts Council space that we're talking about. Maybe we won't make the $500,000 this year, but then it's going to start out with something that'll expand and make it even larger in the future. So we're hoping and praying that that will be something that we're looking forward to having. So,
yeah, my wife and I went to the Blues Fest this past September, early September, I think it was, and Robert Cray, one of the great blues artists, played, and there was a huge crowd for that. So I think there is a demand out there for these kind of shows.
Oh, yes.
And I know that there are people who think that there could be other events that could be at the amphitheater, you know, if the community, for instance, like Noblesville does, would decide to have a Shakespeare in the Park type of thing, that at least the facility could handle that now.
Yes.
Where before it was very difficult. It was really just a stage 4 musical acts. Now, that's still true, but I think that there's at least the possibility.
Well, we think about the ballet, the performing arts. We think about comedy. There's just so many different parts to art. And I think when we just talk about visual, we don't want to just, you know, tie in with just the visual part of it. And we use the City Hall sometimes in the auditorium to bring in some of the performing part of it with the Fisher's Music Works. But but it's, you know, kind of not always our space. So we'd love to have something like that, and where you could actually even have tables of maybe selling tables of 10 or 20 people, you know, within a certain area that would enjoy maybe a small setting. And so that's what we're looking to start with. We're not sure how that's going to work, but we'd love to have something like that.
But you have a general vision of what you'd like to do with the fundraising success. And you could, that, you know, that's you've got about 2 years to get your goal. Of course, you know, that even though that's that seems like it's a tough haul, Fisher's is a big enough. We're the fourth largest city in the state now.
Yes,
fourth or fifth. I think we're now fourth. So you'd have to think that there should be interest out there, and you'll test the waters and see, won't you?
Yes, we will. We'll try our very best to make sure that we keep bringing in interest. Like I said, and I've kind of sparked that interest by saying to you, and there's going to be some things that are coming down the pike. So keep your ears and look at the website and different Facebook social medias that we have. So
LarryandFishers.com will always be working at trying to update people. I'm anxiously awaiting these announcements.
Yes, we'll be loving to let you know, Larry. We appreciate all that you do in the community.
Well, thank you. It's and you too. You and your arts. Speaking of that, tell me some of the other people who have been very, very much involved in the arts with your council, and just generally some people you want to name who you feel need a little recognition for being involved in arts.
You know, the loving thing about this is that we have, like I said, volunteers, but most of the people that I have been dealing with Fisher's Arts Council, like Tom Rich and Les Reinhardt and Marilyn Cooley, and I'm just naming some of them, Deming Morrison and Rachel Sunray and Madeline Romeo, Olivia Holt, Andy Overman, and then Brad Barkley, and Mr. Kelso, who also has a space over here in right off of Maple Street. He has a space. He's actually involved with our Arts Council. And then we have a gentleman, a young man, Schwa. He has a place in Fountain Square, but he lives here in Fishers. So, and then we also have a few guys that are actually going to school full time and then volunteer with us, Rodolfo Romero. So, and I cannot leave out John Huey. John travels back and forth from Fort Wayne and still finds time to be involved with the Fishers Arts Council. So, it's been a really labor of love for volunteers to be involved. We've had a few people that drop in and volunteer, some of our teachers that do that within Hamilton Southeastern, and then they drop out and drop back in. So it's been wonderful to have the volunteers. I hope I didn't miss anyone, but if I did, it was probably because I've forgotten what's going on. It's just a lot going on.
I'm sure they'll forgive you.
Yes, thank you.
Because you're going from memory. I don't think you even have a list here.
So no, I don't.
I put you on the spot. Sorry.
No.
But I wanted
to
get some recognition for people who have been working here locally.
And I appreciate all of them because they've been a great tie-in to helping volunteers. And they've been bringing in new volunteers, which will be having some additional volunteers coming up. I don't want to name. See, we got so many exciting things going on, but we have some new volunteers starting in January.
Well, speaking of that, if someone would like to be a volunteer, they like the arts and thought they're looking for a volunteer opportunity, tell me how one gets that message across to you and your group.
Well, you can go into fishersartscouncil.com, or we even have fishersartscouncil@gmail.com. Both of those locations you can actually apply to, or you can reach out to our phone number, and we have a number, 317-537-1670. And that's right. It connects to our Gmail account and also connects to a Google telephone number that we actually answer. So we'd love to have someone that is just interested in and in volunteering or giving money. Contact us.
That was my next question.
Yes.
Is there a donate button on that website?
Yes, there is. Well, actually, we're doing some more updating of that website, and we have a donate button on the Facebook account.
Okay.
But we will be doing some additional places where you can donate. And we've had some donations come through with our Facebook donate account. So it goes through Square, which we appreciate that. And then we can actually, you know, immediately get the information and the money's coming to us. So we appreciate it.
Anything you would like people to know about your Arts Council that I maybe didn't think to ask? Anything you'd like to add?
Well, I can't think of anything else to add except that how wonderful this year has been, how much we appreciate all that has been happening within the city. And I think that has helped Fishers Arts Council to actually stay on the radar of thinking that we can actually come up with this $500,000. So we know that we have people that are wanting to have the seven locations like the students did. There's been a lot of interest in those seven locations, and we just want to pick one. We don't want all seven. And we just want to be able to have a space where everybody can enjoy. And I think, like I said, this could happen. We're hoping this can happen.
Well, good luck to you. I know you have a lot of work ahead of you, but you smile as you look forward to it. And you have a nice ear-to-ear smile when you talk about this.
Thank you.
I want to thank Sherry Knox for being with me today. She is the recently elected president of the Fishers Arts Council. And good luck, and thanks so much for being with me today.
All right, and thank you, Larry, for having me.
My thanks to Sherry Knox for joining me on this podcast. For more information on the Fishers Arts Council, go to fishersartscouncil.com. This is the Larry in Fishers podcast. My name is Larry Lannon. I write a local news blog, larryinfishers.com, from Fishers, Indiana, suburban community northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.